This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 14th. This is episode 1567. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate you being here. Jamie is on an early Thanksgiving vacation. Matter of fact, she's here in Florida, about 2 hours from us. She's visiting family. They're doing it early because it was much, much cheaper than flying in on Thanksgiving. And Dr. Wendy is here filling in. Thank you, Dr. Wendy.
Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. It's weird to do a live show with you. Usually we can goof off and screw up and then edit it all out. But
I know. I get super nervous like right before we start.
Well, it was cute. If you didn't see it over the weekend on Jamie's Facebook page, Lucas, her little three-year-old, went fishing for the first time and caught his first fish.
Aww.
And it was very funny watching the video and how he was scared to touch it. And then you have to stay to the very end of the video if you go watch it on Jamie's page because it was very cute. So it's always fun when kids have their first experiences doing things.
It's true.
So that
especially Arizona kid going fishing. That's right.
Right. Not a lot of water out there. And then Wednesday we have Lisa Wysocki. Of course, the author is going to join us. She's a regular co-host here. And then Jamie will be back on Friday. So that's what the schedule looks like. And we have our full week here for you on Horses in the Morning. Jennifer and I will be here with you every day, of course. And we have a fun show planned for you today, and a very special guest joining us in a few minutes who did a wonderful thing over the weekend. Jennifer's going to tell us all about it. Maybe.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, in an effort to take full advantage of Wendy's veterinary expertise today, we will have the good doctor answer a few listener questions. And right after that, we're going to be inviting the co-host of the Dressage Radio Show, Reese Kofler Stanfield, on to do a little bragging on her horse, Ellen Court, who won a big championship over the weekend. And then, continuing our dressage theme, Catherine Bateson Chandler is going to stop by. She's an international dressage competitor, and she's going to tell us about what she's up to. And then after the break, the wacky world of Horse Nation sets the laugh track for our week. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie does go out to Reese and Ellen Court, which is the fancy name for her horse. Hello is the name she uses every day. They finished reserve champion in the fourth level freestyle open championships over the weekend at the Dressage National Championships in Lexington. We're going to have her on. I didn't know she was coming on, so this is a surprise, but she's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. We'll give her a call, and we'll find out all about it, because there were some dramatic things that happened at the Alltech Arena in Lexington over the weekend, and we'll find out about that. But Wendy, your Daily Winnie first.
Well, my Daily Winnie is for all of our auditors at the Equine and Fair in Massachusetts.
And they sent us a little sound file. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Morning, Jamie and Glenn. This is all of the auditors at Equine Affair, Massachusetts. We'll go around the room really fast. This is Debbie.
This is Ann.
Bethany.
Stephanie.
Tyler.
This is Kate.
Katie.
And Becca, our friend.
So good morning to everybody on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. We're all going to say it together.
Good morning.
Thank you, guys. That was a lot of fun.
They're such a fun group. I love the auditors.
They met with Debbie. That was Debbie that leading the way, of course, from Horsemanship Radio. Debbie Laux, Monty Roberts' daughter. And she was there meeting every... It looked like she had so much fun meeting all the listeners and auditors there over the weekend. And they had some great pictures from there. A lot of cool things happening at Equine Affair. And a lot of fun demonstrations and things. So thank you so much. And it was so cool that you guys all got to get together. That was really neat. What do you think they were saying about me, by the way?
How fabulous you are.
Nothing good. I don't think it was good. All right, let's see if we can round up Reese, because she has to like get back to her real job, training horses and stuff. Of course, we're talking about Reese Coffler-Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show, who was at the Nationals over the weekend. And we'll see if we can add her in here. I'm going to have to do this live on Skype, so we'll hope her connection is good when we add her in. But I'm so excited to hear about her adventures and how it all went.
Good morning.
Good morning, Reese. Thanks for joining us on such short notice. And I know you've got to be tired.
Oh, you know, it is quite a busy morning here at the farm. We've got a few layovers and, you know, so we're moving some horses around. They came in from the horse show, but everything's good.
Well, now, I just gave you my daily whinny. You and Ellen Court are hello.
Thank you.
And I said you would give us the details. Now, you were at the national championships, right?
That's right. They were here. The U.S. Dressage Finals were here at the Horse Park in Lexington over the weekend. And yesterday, we did the Pre-St. George. It was a little bit of a weird scheduling debacle because both his championships ride got scheduled yesterday afternoon, which is very rare.
And for non-dressage people at this high level, usually don't do two in one day, right?
No, okay. That's right. So it probably will never, ever happen in his career again. So we did the Pre-St. George first. He was a little bit tense in that one, but it was good. He got to come back 3 hours later, go back in the ring. However, there was another little debacle. The emergency power was on in the main arena. So I'm working on, actually, I know who it happened to. I'm going to try and get him on our show this week. But literally during, she's a friend of mine, the power went out during her ride.
Oh.
Did big alarms go off?
I'm not sure if the big, I guess, apparently. So I'm just recapping from what I've heard. But poor thing, she was like riding her flying changes on the diagonal. The entire Alltech goes black. So she's moving. Apparently the horse was really good, just stopped. And then, you know, everybody scrambled around, tried to figure out what happened. The emergency power came back up. And so...
Which is like those big spotlight things?
I'm not really sure. It was very soft light, actually. It was just enough that you could see, kind of.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's how I want to ride my dressage.
Right, exactly.
In the dark.
Right. Wendy, I'll this is for you.
You get all tens, Wendy.
Right? So, yeah, so it's kind of dark. And so I guess she got to, she sort of finished. And apparently the whole arena just was silent. Like nobody said anything, nobody did anything, thankfully. So then, so she finishes her test.
Could the judges even see her? Well, I guess the emergency lights were on.
Yeah, the emergency lights were on. So you could see, but it was definitely not the way it was.
Like candlelight in an arena.
Basically, it happened two rides after my Pre-St. George, and I wasn't in there. Because I don't know what hello would have done. I would have just got off. I would have just jumped off. I would have been like, I'm out. I can't do it. So then apparently she finished her test. And the worst thing that happened, I think, was like the feedback from the speakers like went off. So this poor horse is still in the ring. This has all happened. It's a championship ride. Well, so, but everything's computerized, right? So then the show office, like all your tests are computerized, everything. So they had to go back to the old paper system. And it was awful. And then, so I still have to have my second ride. And we're all like, okay, what's going to happen? So Ellen Court had to go back in the dark.
Your freestyle? Was the sound working? I hope.
You got the sound to work. So, but it was like
emergency. Because a freestyle without sound's kind of, you know.
Boring. Yeah.
A boombox, right? Yeah. No, for some reason they got the sound to work.
Wait, let me get my phone out. I'll turn it up real high.
You know, like wave the phone. Everybody hears my music. So, but the worst part about it was there was two large sunspots in the middle of the ring. So, and Hello can be a little weird with sunspots. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've had some jumping episodes in my arena. So I was like, oh my God, I've got to ride my freestyle sort of around the sunspots, right? Because I'm like, if I go directly into a sunspot, it's going to be game over. He's just going to stop and or jump or something. So that was pretty fun to like ride around the sunspots. So that was entertaining.
Well, good thing it was your freestyle.
Yeah,
so
right.
You could
we did
it.
Some freestyling around there. And actually, that was a very good test. He ended up with almost a 73%. And,
wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So that was very exciting. So.
And you ended up with reserve champion then on that
That's
one,
right? Yep. Reserve champion. My good friend Debbie Hill won. And, you know, there's some people you're like, here, she's a really good rider, really good horses. So very big congratulations to her. And
now that's fourth level for those of us that you've explained this to 50 times and I still don't remember. From fourth level, then you go to where?
Pre-St. George.
Okay.
That's right. And so that's what I did the open pre-St. George before, and he was a little tense and I had had some problems in the flying changes.
So do you actually think doing two tests in one day in a way helped him?
Well, normally I would have done is a pre-ride. So I hand walked him early in the arena, but I was too afraid to ride him three times. Like he's pretty young still, you know, he's seven and he can get through a test now, basically with our fitness. But two, I was really worried about. I've never had to do that at that level. So I had to kind of make a different call than I normally would. Normally, I would have ridden him in the morning. So he would have had a ride and had gotten to get his willies out a little bit. So that was the only difference. So I think the second ride was how he probably would have been if I had done one ride a day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So
how did the poor woman who was actually in the arena when the power went out?
I don't know. I'm gonna try and get her on our show because I want to know what she did, because I would have freaked out. I'm not gonna lie.
Because I mean, what are the chances?
Yeah, and there were people in the warm up. Like that was probably more dangerous.
It was really dark back there, I bet.
It was really dark.
Yeah.
And like even with the emergency power, there was like one small light. So you almost were warming up in the dark. It was I'm not gonna lie, I came home last night and had some adult beverages. I was like, oh God, just get out the good stuff.
Yeah, how about any of your students? Were any of them in?
Some of mine rode there's also an open show, so they did great. A couple of them won their classes, but nobody else from my barn was in the finals this year. So just us.
And who was the big winner?
Chase Hickok won the Grand Prix and the Grand Prix freestyle. So really, she's a great girl. She rides.
No way! You know what?
What?
I gave her her first pony. Tony the Pony.
No way.
Yeah. So, when she was a tiny little kid, she is from North Carolina. And when I was in vet school, I adopted this little pony from our school and his name was Tony the Pony. And she needed a first pony. And I gave her, because her mother was my real estate agent.
Okay, there's a small world right there.
That's a small world.
I know. And I've been following her. I was like, shit, because once Facebook started, I saw she was riding dressage like on big horses. I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. And then I can't believe she won. That's awesome.
She won. And she's a great person. And she's done so much with that horse, Sagacious. And so I'm also working on getting her on the show for this week. So everybody
And none of that would have happened had you not given her that pony, Wendy.
Exactly. I'm sure
you made that all happen.
But Tony was a good little guy.
Tony the Pony. Oh, how much do I
You'll
love
have
that.
To ask her about that.
Yeah, I will. That'd I will definitely ask her about Tony the Pony.
Talk about a small world. You know, we're always saying, is there anybody Wendy doesn't know? Apparently not.
I get around.
That's why we love you, Wendy. That's fantastic.
Well, Reese, congratulations. Give a shout out to your owners also.
I will. Kiki Cortellis and Town and Country Sport Horses. They're fantastic supporters of us and wouldn't be here without her. So thank you for that.
And Hello, it can be a handful at times. So I give you credit for doing all of that and for not becoming this.
I don't want to be that girl.
You didn't become that girl, so there you go. Congratulations.
Well, you guys are the best. You all have a great day,
all right,
everybody.
See you, Reese.
And listen to the Dressage Radio Show. We're going to have a great show this week.
All right. Thanks, Reese.
Bye.
Isn't that funny? You actually knew the girl and gave her first pony?
Oh, I've been following her on Facebook because I was like, oh, little Chase, I can't believe you're riding dressage, because I've only been following her like I've only started seeing how she's like a bigwig in dressage in the last couple of years.
She just won the national championships twice.
I know. So I'm so proud of her. I have to call her.
Isn't that funny? Wow.
What's more funny? These dressage people are so funny about how like the lights go off and it's a total disaster. Like the horses all go crazy.
Yeah.
Sunspots.
They are dressage horses. They're not used to dealing with that.
I know. It's just funny. It's just different. You know, they're so powerful, because I have ridden a couple Grand Prix horses, and you sit on them, you're like, oh my God, like they're so powerful. They could really like kill you. And they're wound so tight. But from coming from a driving perspective, you know, I mean, my horses would
having driven through ice, snow, torrential rains, tornadoes.
Yeah, exactly. Under a blanket in a chariot.
Under a blanket in the chariot during a major movie.
But you know what? It's great. I think it's really great that we can, you know, have these. They had this. That was a total disaster. And everybody survived.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever heard about the power going out at the Altec Arena either. Usually that arena is pretty good shape. Something must have happened.
And maybe, what you're saying in the warm-up arena, my
You know,
God,
it still is owned by the state. You think they didn't pay the electric bill?
Could have been. It is
just
November.
Kidding.
Maybe they were having ice and snow.
Just kidding. Don't write me emails. All right. So Radiothon is 2 weeks from today, Wendy.
Yay.
Wendy, I can't believe that, by the way, because I got a lot of work to do between now and then. But Wendy's going to be here. She'll be coming up the day before. We'll be going over all 12 hours of Radiothon. And I wanted to go over, because this is the first time that we can officially do this, that the guest list has been posted.
Ooh.
And you can go to holidayradiothon.com and see the complete guest list. But I wanted to review it with you and get everybody excited, because we have the who's who of the horse world and one not horse world in here as well. We're going to start off the day, and this interview is already in the can because Jamie and I had to do it ahead of time because he's kind of busy. And there's a major announcement. We can't say what it is, but there is going to be a major announcement during this interview. Christian Busch of Sugarland. Of course, Sugarland sold 25 million albums and has been won a ton of awards. And half the singing duo, Christian Busch of Sugarland, will be with us, who also happens to be one of Jamie's oldest friends in Atlanta. So it was fun really hearing those two talk, because they go back a long way. And of course, Christian's a superstar. But he'll be on talking about, he loves Christmas. So he's going to tell us about Christmas and the times they spent together. It was a great interview. That'll lead the way for the day. George Morris then follows up Christian Busch. Christian Busch, we already have that interview in the can, and I'm not saying a word. Let's just say he was George, and that should be a lot of fun.
You know what, Glenn? I'm sure he's already pissed off, if he's listening, that you put Christian Busch above the George.
Well, Christian has sold a few more records than George. Well,
doesn't matter.
Stuart
Pittman. We don't call him the Christian.
Anything, Wendy. Shh. Don't tell him. Stuart Pittman, founder of the Retired Racehorse Project, is going to be on with us. Melanie Smith Taylor, World Cup show jumper, author, and an NBC announcer.
I love her.
Yeah.
She's my idols from childhood.
She'll be on. Julian Elizabeth Neal, who's a filmmaker, is going to be on during the Equus Film Hour. Christian Moore, who's an actress, been in many TV shows and wrote and produced Running Wild with Sharon Stone, is joining us. Talk about that. Laura Graves is coming on. Of course, bronze medal dressage Olympian from this year. Tammy Hoag, New York Times bestselling author, who many of you have read her books. She's also a dressage rider. She'll be on in the dressage hour. Monty Roberts, of course. Allison Brock, bronze medal with that same bronze medal dressage team for this year, will be joining Monty, and they're going to be on together, which will be fun. For all of you BBC fans, Martin Clunes, actor and star of the BBC show Doc Martin, and he's a Clydesdale owner, will be joining us during Debbie's Hour. Richard Schrake, who a lot of you know, a horseman, trainer, and coach, creator of resistance-free training. I met him first during the World Equestrian Games back in 2010. He'll be joining us. Patty Colbert, who is the founder of the Mustang Heritage Foundation and Extreme Mustang Makeovers, will be joining, kind of a legend in that world. Joe Salatin. Does that name ring a bell? Joe Salatin? He is the most famous farmer. He's the most famous farmer in the world and has written a dozen books. And in that world, he is God. So he's joining us during the Healthy Critters Hour. Linda Tellington Jones is going to be here. Everybody recognizes that name, creator of T-Touch. She's coming to us from Hawaii. Guy McLean's going to be joining us. So we're getting around the world here. He's actually going to be in the United States, and he's joining us as well and might have a little poem that he's written for us. Barry Dickinson, one of the, would you say he's the most popular guest on our show, the Driving Radio Show?
Of course.
When I put in the description for Barry, I could only put one thing, the incomparable, because I didn't know how else to describe Barry. He's just incomparable. There's nobody
he's
else
the
like
best.
Barry. He'll be joining us to talk about the holidays and things. Barry is knows more about horse history than anybody I know. He's just a wealth of encyclopedia of knowledge.
He's an avid reader, but also he has a photographic memory. And he reads all these like antique books. He knows everything about turnout.
He does. He's just an incredible guy. And he's fun to listen to. He's just animated. He did a show for us on sleigh bells that was, and he has all of the sleigh bells and what they, and he played them for us.
Oh, that was a great show.
That was a great show. It was one of our most popular shows.
I don't know if you know this about Barry too, but he's also a side saddle expert.
Oh,
he knows
right?
everything about side saddle. Hmm. Everything. I wanted to get a side saddle and I was at Barry's farm. And I said, and he was redoing the side saddle. I said, oh, Barry, can I buy this side saddle for you? And he said to me, no, you can't afford it. And that was the end of it. He wouldn't tell me how much it cost. He just was like, no, you can't afford it.
That's Barry. Barry's not afraid to tell us what we should think either. Lisa Kelly is back. Ice Road Trucker Lisa Kelly, one of the only guests that's returning this year. And she notified me last week that she has written us a poem, Wendy. So Lisa, of course, is the most popular trucker in the world. She now has 600,000 followers on Facebook.
Wow.
The only one that has more followers than her that's a guest on our show is Christian Bush of Sugarland. And I looked it up just out of curiosity the other day. They have 5.5 million followers.
Wow.
On Facebook. And we were going to have him promoted ahead of time, you know, so people could come on, his people could come on and listen. And we decided not to because we thought he would crash the server in the first 10 minutes of the show and then that would be it. Can you imagine if 100,000 of his fans hit our server at once?
I know.
Nobody'd be listening to 12 Hours Live. So we're going to have him promoted after the fact. Then we continue. We're not done yet. We have Cherry Hill. Of course, anybody that's read horse books in the last 20 years knows who Cherry Hill is. She's a best-selling equestrian author. We have Carolyn Haynes, who is a USA Today best-selling author, written a dozen books and is very popular best-selling author in mainstream as well. We have probably one of the most important guests of the day on the Horse Husband Hour, Lieutenant Colonel Chad Jennings, husband of Jamie's, agreed to come on. I'm going to do a little one-on-one with Chad, and the listeners have all submitted questions, so we're going to get our questions answered. And then in the eventing hour, in the wild and crazy last hour, we have Doug Payne, Tammy Smith, and Heather Morris, along with Leslie Wiley and Jenny Autry joining us for the last final drunken hour at 8 o'clock.
That is going to be a crazy hour.
Yes.
I love how you save eventing till last. I think that's the way to go.
Well, last year it worked out because we were so tired by then that we didn't have to do much.
It was
crazy too. So it should be a lot of fun. The guests are all lined up and I think we have a great lineup and a wide variety this year too. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, voicemail entries are due by this Friday, the 18th. So if you haven't gotten your voicemails in, please send them in. Get them in to glenn@horseradionetwork.com. You can record them using your memo on your phone or any voice recorder on your phone. Or you can go to holidayradiothon.com and click enter to win. And there's instructions on there of a number of different ways you can send your voicemails in. So there's two ways you can win the prizes. And it's now officially actually over $4,000 in prizes. There's two ways you can win. One is you can send us a voicemail ahead of time and then you're entered and we'll draw names every hour. Or you can call us that day. And even if you don't get on the air, Jennifer will be putting everybody in that calls. We'll have 10 phone lines open. I just confirmed with the phone people we use that this is all going to be good. We have 10 phone lines open. We're expecting hundreds of calls. Jennifer, even if you don't get on the air, Jennifer will put your name on the list so you'll be entered to win. So those are the two ways you can get entered to win. And we have some fun voicemails. I have 100 voicemails so far, Wendy.
Wow.
Some fun ones that have come in. And I'm going to play one a little later for you that'll give everybody kind of a preview. It's one of this year's. And it was beautiful and funny. And we're going to play it as our song a little bit later in the show. But how about a sample of one here? Last year, to get everybody in the mood and off of their bad funk they're in for the election and politics and stuff. We'll get you in the mood for Radiothon. Here was one that was submitted by Robin Donaghy last year for the driving show, and it kind of went wrong, and she had to do it over.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. Oh, crap, there's a big semi. Hold on.
I remember that one. See, that's what I'm saying. That's the difference between dressage horses and driving horses.
And we've all had that happen, those of us that have been driving. The one day, I took Karen, who is the head of Kentucky Performance Products, she stopped in. I said, let's go for a drive with Scooter. And Jennifer was riding, and I was driving Scooter, and they were having to work on our roads that day, and they had a street sweeper.
Oh,
one of the big
God.
Street... Well, that's like a pony-eating machine.
I know, and that is a pony-eating machine.
Scooter was great. He just looked at it. He's not afraid of mechanical things. He's afraid of other horses and things running at him. But mechanical things, he doesn't seem to bother. So we're with the street sweeper. And actually, Beaker had worse meltdown than Scooter did during the street sweeper. Here's another one that was submitted everybody remembers this one because it was so cute. Here's a short version of the Johnson family's 12 Days of Christmas from last year.
This is the 12 horse days of Christmas from the Johnson family.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a 12-hour podcast.
11 diners naked.
10 miles of Tevis.
9 milky spreaders.
8 flying changes.
7 stars to Mucka.
6 dually halter.
5 flexing and forks.
4 hoof boots.
3 riding helmets.
2 sets of sticks.
And an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
Merry Christmas for the
That's from the Johnson family. That's very cute. And they submitted one again this year. So we have another one from the Johnson family for sure. And then Chelsea Sievers sent one in.
Dashing through the snow on a one pony open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, chuckling all the way. For Jamie's at it again, making spirits bright. Of that girl tales and adventures on Thor tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun it is to laugh along with the Hit'em crew today. Merry Christmas from Chelsea and the Minis and Ponies in Wisconsin.
There you go. So that was Chelsea giving us a sample of what you can do. You don't have to sing. You can write a poem, or you can just call us and tell us who your fantasy ride, or in our case, drive is. If you could pick any horse from history or current that you would like to ride or drive, tell us that in your voicemail and why. And remember, when you're leaving your voicemails, it's kind of important to leave your name, or we can't put you on the list. We've had several voicemails with people not giving us their names, and we have no idea who you are or how to make sure that you actually can win a prize. So you want to make sure you do that. And to listen live, one last thing about Radiothon. To listen live, you can listen on the website at holidayradiothon.com, horseradionetwork.com, Horses in the Morning, Driving Radio Show, any of our websites will have the live player on it. Or you can listen on our app. You can go to the App Store, iOS or Android, search for Horse Radio Network, download it. Now, this is new this year. There is a live button where you can listen to this show right now. You could be listening live on our app, or you'll be able to listen to all 12 hours of Radiothon. As long as you have an internet connection or a half-decent connection, you'll probably want to be on Wi-Fi if you're going to listen to 12 hours of audio. not use up all of your bandwidth. So you'll probably want to do that, but you can listen on your phone through our app that day, and that's new this year. So lots of different ways to listen. Should be a lot of fun. And that's 2 weeks from today. I got a lot of work to do, Wendy. I really do.
I know.
Well, do you want to listen to or answer some listener questions on for sure. Your veterinary side of life?
Sure.
Jessica asked, Dr. Wendy, is there a book that you would refer people to if we wanted to learn more about feeding our pets under the Chinese medicine philosophy?
I have a great book, actually, that I got at the Qi Institute. It's not actually put out by Qi Institute, but it's by Dr. Khalsa. And she's a veterinarian, and she's also trained in holistic therapies. And she wrote a great book. It's called The Natural Dog, and you can find it on Amazon. And it has great recipes in there. It is based on Chinese medicine theory, but she doesn't really go into Chinese medicine theory. But it gives you great ideas about recipes and how to feed your dog naturally. And one of the things that she really stresses is that, you know, dogs evolved. They co-evolve with people, right? So back in the caveman days, we used to eat more naturally, right? Because we didn't have processed foods. So as we evolved...
Are you telling me there was no Snickers back then?
No, there were no Snickers. It was like dinosaurs.
How could they even live? Why even bother?
I know. All right. But so if you eat an unhealthy diet, then you feed your dog table scraps, yes, that's going to be unhealthy, right? Or dog food, a lot of dog food is carbohydrates. So that would be like us eating pasta every day. And I love pasta and Doritos, okay? But you can't eat pasta and Doritos every day. So it's just a more natural way of feeding your pets with whole foods. And then it helps because once you start cooking for your dog, if you're somebody like Glenn that doesn't like to eat vegetables, it will encourage you to eat more vegetables. Right?
Somebody like me. I like certain vegetables.
I know. And I'm working on you.
Yes.
Because with your Lyme disease, you really should eat more leafy, dark leafy greens.
I've been better about that. I don't just eat iceberg lettuce anymore.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I know. Aren't you proud of me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually eat other stuff now too. So,
well,
one other, so give the name of that book again and where people can find it. So
it's Dr. Khalsa's Natural Dog, and you spell her name Khalsa, and that you can find that on Amazon. So just search Amazon and I can put a link up, later on the Facebook page. But it's a great book, and it has some really good recipes, because you know how I cook is I just kind of cook. I don't measure anything out. So sometimes it's hard for me to give advice about recipes because I don't have standard recipes. But this is like a whole cookbook with all different recipes. It's really helpful.
Very good. And we do have more listener questions. We're going to get to them. Try and get to as many as we can a little bit later in the show. We have questions here on dry. Most of these are about dogs today, which is interesting. But then, of course, people like all have dogs, right? So we got questions on dry skin. We have questions on other things dog related that we'll get to later in the show. But first, we have to get to our guest today. And we have with us today, Catherine Bateson Chandler, an international dressage rider sponsored by our title sponsor of today's show, and that is Omega Alpha. In 2010, Catherine represented the U.S. at the All-Tech FEI World Equestrian Games in Lexington, Kentucky, and currently trains each summer in Europe, and I believe is still training with Carl Hester over there and winters here in Wellington. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. It's great to talk to you guys.
Good to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us today. Are you in the U.S.? Are you back?
I am. I've been back about a month from being in Europe and doing a little tour earlier in the summer and from training in England with Carl.
Okay.
So it's lovely to be back in the warm weather.
So as soon as everybody just heard that, I got about 5 messages on Facebook from listeners, and they all want to know the question. You already know the question. And the listeners all want to know, have you ridden Velegro?
I have.
Yay!
Kyle and Charlotte both are, they're very open with their horses. They're not precious with their horses. So pretty much everybody rides everything. So that's great fun. I've ridden, pretty much all those horses at one time or another. And yeah, very lucky.
Okay, the listeners are just melting down now with a bunch of OMGs here. So they all want to know, what was it like? I just got that question about three times too. So
He
never
going to
wash those breeches again.
No, did you wash?
Exactly.
Yeah, never again.
I've got a whole pile. he truly is what he seems like he is. He is the most special horse in the world. And I've been around a lot of special horses, international or otherwise. And there's something about him that's so gentle and such an old soul. You look, he's got these eyes that have wrinkles over them, almost like an elephant. That sounds weird, but he's got like these old eyes that he just knows everything, and he's so wise. And yeah, he is as he seems like he is. He's very, very special.
That brings up a question, because you've been around these horses, and you've been around I think we can safely say one of the best dressage horses that ever lived.
Absolutely.
So what? Obviously, training has a lot to do with it. Environment has a lot to do with it. But I also kind of believe that natural talent, that some of this is natural. What makes that special horse become the best horse in the world?
I think, like you said, it's so many factors. I mean, he is so amazing in his temperament. He is completely trainable. I've never seen him, and I've seen him since he was 5 years old. I've never seen him do one thing that was naughty. I've never seen him buck. I've never seen him rear. I've never seen him run away. I mean, he just doesn't have that in him. And he's a very, very sensitive horse, but in the best of ways. It's what we all look for. And plus, he's been raised in such an amazing environment where he was never pushed beyond his abilities, always thought he was a good boy. And he just has that X factor that's impossible to predict if you have it or not. You know, they either have it or they don't. And you don't know until you sort of produce a horse if they have it, really. Mainly his temperament and his environment, I would say, the way he's been treated his whole life by Carl and Charlotte.
You know, we also, this is nowhere where I thought we were going to go with this conversation, Catherine, so bear with me, because I think it's interesting. You know, we often talk about partnerships, and I believe that there is a relationship between a horse and a rider, and that a horse kind of picks its person. And in this case, you know, obviously the combination there, and everybody wondered what would happen with Totalus, because there was a perfect example of a partnership that, after it was broken up, didn't really do what it had originally. Do you believe horses have a person?
100%, I do. And I think horses can have multiple people, but I think it's tricky. I do think I'm so glad that, you know, Carl kept the Legro, you know, with Charlotte and in his barn. I mean, that's a testament to the human being that he is. Because, you know, obviously at one time he could have been a very wealthy man. So I'm so glad that happened. But I mean, I do believe there are instances where, you know, horses have had multiple people, and that can certainly work. But it has to be a very special relationship between the two people, I think. I've ridden horses that were trained by other people, and I think you have to be very open to seeing how they train them and be willing to mold yourself to, you know, how that horse has been raised. And if you're not completely willing to do that, it can be tricky.
Which horse has you now?
I have a horse named Alcazar. Lonzi is his barn name. And he is, he's pretty special to me. I mean, I've had him since he was young, and he was ridden a little bit by a really good rider in Holland when he was younger. And then I got him and trained him up through the levels, and now he's Grand Prix. And when you do that with a horse, it's just when you spend every day with them, which me and my husband, who also helps take care of them, do. It's there's just a bond that you can't really describe. I mean, you have to feel it. And he's my special boy.
What makes him so special for you?
I think, again, his character. He's got a lot of character. He's, a horse maybe not for everybody, but for me, he tries really hard. He's got enough sort of spice to him that keeps it interesting every day. And I think just, you know, when you ride a horse every day and you sort of brought them along, it's you get on and it's like putting on an old pair of shoes. You know each other so well. Which can also, you know, that's where it's good to have, you know, good help on the ground that makes you You know, sometimes when you've been with a horse every single day, it's like being an old married couple and you push each other's buttons a little bit. So that's why I try and make sure that I've always got, you know, as much as possible good help on the ground, so that I can remember, you know, sort of step back a little bit and not necessarily treat him like a horse I know every day. Otherwise, I think you can get a little bit stagnant. So yeah, I've always had really good help, so I'm really lucky that way.
So who's more, you brought it up. So who's more challenging, your husband or the horse? Because you said he's like an old, that's why.
Oh God, that's a, you know what? They're very similar. And that is the God's honest truth.
Your husband doesn't like to pee off either?
They could be. No, exactly. Well, not when told. Only at will.
That's funny.
They're very similar that way. I have to say, it's actually an interesting point.
You're the first professional rider we've had on this show since the WEG was announced in Tryon. Is that something you're looking toward with this horse?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so exciting to have the WEG back in our country again. You know, since, you know, Kentucky, I competed in Kentucky and I think all the Europeans raved about it. You know, the environment and the, you know, everything about it. Everybody I spoke to absolutely loved it. So I think it's going to be so cool to have it now in Tryon. And bring everybody back over here again and, you know, let them experience what we have over here. Cause we spend a lot of time going over there.
Yeah, you spend it, what, every summer pretty much over there?
I do, yeah. For the past 8 or 9 years, pretty much I've been over there in the summer. I mean, for me, it's easy. I mean, I was born in England, so it's a little bit natural for me to be comfortable there. And when you go back to the same place, especially somewhere like Carl's, it just becomes as much like home as here in America does. So I'm lucky to love
and
both
you're not
places
exact...
and be happy to go to each place.
Catherine, you're not exactly slumming it at Carl's place when you're over there. So I mean,
absolutely not. I mean, it is. It's fantastic, and I'm so lucky that we became such good friends. And that, you know, because he doesn't really do what I'm doing for people in general. So I was lucky to sort of get in. You know, before the gold medals and everything sort of blew up, I got to be really good friends with Carl, and I was lucky with my timing, to be honest.
Yeah, you did. You got in before all of that happened, which was
exactly
which turned out to be the biggest blessing you could ever get as a dressage rider, for sure.
100%.
And you, so now one of the reasons that we're glad you're coming on today is our title sponsor is Omega Alpha, and I know that you're one of their sponsored riders as well. Tell us a little bit about what products you use for Omega Alpha.
I mean, I use a bunch of products sort of, you know, I've got different horses with sort of different issues. I think pretty much across the board, the horses love the GastroFX. You know, I think Omega Alpha really starts with the gut. And they think that's, you know, like the first thing, which I totally agree with. And so do, you know, every vet I speak to, you know, you've got to start with their, you know, intestines and start on the inside there and then sort of work, you know, around the joints and stuff. So all my horses get the GastroFX, which is a fantastic product. And I also have a product called Anti-Flam, which I think is amazing for, you know, my really high performance horses that are working sort of at a Grand Prix international level. You know, they do get inflammation in their muscles. So I think I love the Anti-Flam because I love the thought of sort of taking inflammation out of their muscles in a completely natural way. Is fantastic. You know, I like to stay away from as much as I can from any kind of real like prescription kind of drugs, if possible, butbanamine, those kinds of things. If they need it, they need it. But, you know, I'd rather stay away from that and use something that's, you know, natural for their systems.
And the other thing too, and we have Dr. Chang on all the time. He comes on once a month on the show. And,
right.
You know, one of the things we bring up all the time, especially with performance riders like yourself, is there's nothing in there that's going to get in you trouble testing wise either because it's all natural. So,
absolutely. And yeah. That is number one for us. You know, that's a huge thing for any rider that rides at an international level and even at a national level. So yeah, that's what excited me about the products in the first place.
Of course, Omega Alpha Equine is where you want to go to find those products. They're available in many of the stores here in the United States. And I do know that's even becoming more important. And I know Dr. Chang keeps an eye on that. What they are looking for and testing for increases every year. I don't know how you professional riders keep track of it, because it even comes down to what you put in your horse's legs and what you touch that somebody else might have touched. I mean,
you'd be surprised how many times, you know, I mean, it starts to get a little mind boggling when you think about how easy it would be for a horse to become contaminated from no fault of your own. And there's some factors you just can't control. But we do our very best to control as much as we can, keeping separate feed dishes, monitoring who touches the horses, especially at horse shows. And that can, you know, come across as sort of a, you know, not wanting people to, you know, sort of unfriendly, but we have such a responsibility, especially when you have somebody like I do that, you know, owns my horses. I have the responsibility to her to make sure that, you know, her horses are safe and that, you know, they don't test positive ever for anything.
Well, that of course is OmegaAlphaEquine.com. So you're heading over here, or you're over here now for the winter?
Basically, my home's here in Wellington.
What's the road to WEG look like now that we really have shortened the time for planning from 6 years to 18 months? What's the road for WEG look like for somebody in your position? They'll be doing the test events, I assume, like they normally would for anything else. So the qualification period will go through the next year. And is that something right now you're planning your shows based on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you wait until the very year of a championships, you're behind the eight ball. Everybody's planning right now, to be honest, even towards Tokyo. You know, you've got to be, and you spend your life sort of counting backwards, which sounds a bit funny, but you sort of see where a championships is, and then you sort of back off from that month by month, year by year, and figure out where you need to be right now to get to where you want to go. And knowing how, you know, we're dealing with animals and, you know, there's so many factors that can change. But absolutely, I think this is actually the most important year because we're going to be building and showing everybody what we've got for next year. So absolutely, this is a very important season.
I just one more question, if you have time. I just got another question from a listener. They want to know, and I think this is interesting, and I've had this conversation with professionals before. Do you sit down and plan all the shows for the year at the beginning of the year, kind of have your goals in mind and actually plan all that out? I think people are curious how you coordinate everything, plan it, get your entry fees in, travel, all of that stuff. Seems overwhelming when you have multiple horses and you're a professional.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've got a good overall idea in my head, and actually planning the actual shows goes a little bit season by season. Like right now I'm sitting down, I ride when I'm in this country with Debbie McDonald, who is a really huge mentor for me, personally and professionally.
Well, you got two good ones there between Carl and Debbie.
I know. I am very lucky, and I had Robert for many years, so I've got a good team behind me. Lots of medals they've got. But yeah, we'll sit down and sort of figure out exactly what we'll do for Florida. You know, there's always some flexibility, obviously, for the same reasons I just said. But then I'll also look towards deciding what I want to do, you know, in the summertime in Europe as well. That's sort of in the back of my mind. And then, yeah, we go season by season, really. But I've always got a greater idea in mind of what I want to do, you know. Again, you learn that everything changes. That's the biggest thing we have to keep in mind. You know, I mean, I had a, you know, great plan for the summer, and a little bit of it got sidelined because my horse had colic surgery, which sort of put things, you know, I had to change my plans a bit. But now he's like back up and running and feels better than he's ever felt. He's happy for the rest. And yeah, I'm ready to get going.
Very good. Well, we wish you the best of luck. We will be starting the World Equestrian Games radio show in January, just like we did for 2010. So I hope that you're on it with us a good bit. That means you're on the way.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you so
look
much
forward
for having
to
me.
Seeing you then. Thanks, Heather.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Well, Jennifer, I think you have Nigel has something in common with the Grand Prix horse, and that is he uses Antiflam too.
Yeah, that's the only thing you'll ever have in common. But I'm proud.
And he has a beautiful tail.
Yeah, and he has a nice tail, yes.
And he has a beautiful tail. Absolutely. Top notch.
Well, Catherine's welcome back anytime. She's a lot of fun. I love how her answer to the how much she had to think about the husband question. That was. And thank you to Omega Alpha Equine for helping to book that guest. And I know that the products that she talked about are ones that Dr. Chang has talked about all the time and that Wendy recommends all the time, too. So the Gastro FX especially. Well, we're going to take a break for a song, and then we're going to come back. We have Leslie from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses coming up yet. Dr. Wendy's going to answer a couple of more questions, apparently about dogs, which are the ones that keep coming in here, Wendy. But that's okay, because you spend a lot of your weekends with doggies now.
That's right.
So that's fun. This is a new one. This is a new entry for Radiothon that I'm going to share with this audience. It's kind of a preview. You'll probably hear it on Radiothon Day as well, but it was so good I had to play it for everybody. And it kind of gets you in the mood to get your entries in before Friday. This is Elizabeth Mueller, and she sings her version of Santa Baby. And it may have something to do with us, too.
Santa baby, just slip a saddle under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight, Santa baby. A gooseneck and a four-wheel drive too, steel blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the sleep I missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you'll check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, valet gross trot. Now really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight, Santa honey. One little thing I really do need, the deed to an Ocala farm, Santa honey. So hurry down the chimney tonight, Santa cutie. And fill my stocking with a trip to Rolex and checks. Sign your ex on the line, Santa cutie. And hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with a gift certificate to Dewberry. I really do believe in you. So let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, an indoor ring. And I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
This is Elizabeth Mueller. Yay. We have talented people in our audience, much more than we are, Wendy.
Way more. And witty, talented and witty.
And witty, yes. So that was very good. Thank you,
Elizabeth. I want all those things.
I know. I thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah, I want that. Oh, yeah, I want that.
And an indoor ring, not just on the phone. Right. Very good. Very well done. And she can sing. Beautiful.
I know.
So we're going to have more of that whole day of it, 12 hours in 2 weeks. And before we get to our next guest, I just wanted to also mention I've had a couple listeners asking about the WEG show, about the World Equestrian Games radio show, like we did for the 2010. And I can tell you that Samantha Clark has tentatively agreed to co-host that show with me, like we did back in the old days. So if you've been listening to Horse Radio Network for 8-9 years, you'll know who Samantha is, and you listen to The Wegg Show. We are looking at getting that restarted in January. So we'll be doing, 18 months? And then the plan is that we'll do daily shows during the World Equestrian Games like we did during Kentucky. We did a daily wrap-up show at the end of each day with results and interviews and just a lot of fun. We always found some characters to have on the show, too. So we did 16 days of that last time, and it'll be another 16 days this time. So that's,
16 days?
Yeah.
That makes Radiothon look like nothing.
I know. Well, we only did a wrap-up show at the end of each day, and we actually went out and covered the events all day and got interviews. Mm-hmm. But it was a long haul, 16 days in a row.
It was a long 16 days,
yeah,
Glenn.
It was.
Don't remember the bad part. You've blocked out the bad part.
Well, I remember the part about my legs and feet dying. I remember that, but hopefully this park won't be as big as the Kentucky Horse
Glenn,
Park.
You're gonna have to start a fitness program because back in the day you were a lot better shape than now.
I am gonna have to get in shape.
We'll get you an HRN golf cart.
There you go. What I need. I don't need fitness. I need tools.
You need a golf cart.
Yeah, that's right.
You need a Segway.
I need a Segway. That'd be perfect. Mount my mic on the handlebars of the Segway. Be perfect. Yep. Well, why don't we do, before we get to Leslie, it'll be a couple minutes here, why don't we do another question from a listener for Dr. Wendy? And we get this question a lot. Essential oils, are they real? Do they work?
Well, I'm not trained in essential oils, but on the Driving Radio Show, we did have Dr. Edward Ferguson on, and he is a professor at Louisiana State University. And he did a double-blinded study with lavender oil to show that it actually does have some calming effects on horses. And also, there's been some research that it does have calming effects on dogs also. So I would say that's proof that that at least lavender oil works. Like I said, I'm not trained in essential oils, but your nose, right, this sensation of smelling goes directly to your brain. So you would think that, in theory, aromatherapy must have some influence on your brain just from that alone. And that's something that's very hard to quantify. It's hard to do those kind of double-blinded experiments. So, you know, a lot of that is just people use essential oils for this and this and this, and it works, but it's hard to prove that because you'd have to do some brain studies. So it's hard to make experiments to really test that. But I use lavender oil, especially after we had Dr. Ferguson on, and I use tea tree oil a lot for all different things, not necessarily for aromatherapy. I use tea tree oil because it has antibacterial and antifungal effects. So,
and
I don't know. I don't know if I've answered that properly or not.
Well, I think, do we know what episode that was in case people want to go back and listen to it? Maybe Jennifer can look it up the driving. Dr. Ferguson, right?
It was this year, yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer, maybe you can look that up and give us the episode number so we can give that out. How about another one here? This is from Hillary. My dog gets a mild case of dry skin in the winter. She gets a capsule of fish oil in her dinner, but is there anything else I can use? That's a common one with dogs.
This, like a skin issue with dogs, is my number one question. And where does she live? Does she live in a cold climate area?
I'll get that for you. I can't remember where Hillary is.
Well, dry skin. Oh, New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. So there's different, in Chinese medicine, there's different kinds of skin inflammation. And if it's just dry, flaky skin, that is what in Chinese medicine we call blood deficiency. So she needs, so the oil is good. The fish oil, she probably needs to use more. Also, the capsules, they have varying amounts of omega-3 in it. So you should figure out. I mean, it's hard for me to tell because all the omega-3s that you buy are different concentrations in there. And depending on how long it sat on the shelf. Like if you buy fish oil at Walmart that's been there for 5 years, it probably is not going to have the same amount of stable omega-3 fatty acids that would be in like fresh ground flax. You know, there's some horse people that grind their own flax seeds every day because the oils are fresher when you use it right away. For dogs, I really recommend to put omega-3s in their diet by using either sardines or hard-boiled egg. And then because you get more benefits out of the whole foods. So for this dry skin, I would say increase your omega-3 fatty acids by using whole foods. Another thing you can do is, of course, visit your Chinese medicine veterinarian. And if you're looking for somebody in your area, you can go to tcvm.com. That's like traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, tcvm.com. And you can put in your zip code and find somebody that's trained from Qi Institute through there. Because there's also different herbal formulas that you can use to help with the skin. Another thing you can do is use blood tonifying foods. So in Chinese medicine, a blood tonifying food would be something that's like dark and rich. So that would be something like for dogs, liver is a really good one. I personally...
Can I throw the mandatory ew in there?
Yeah. Okay. I was just going to say that I hate touching liver myself. But Tamika loves liver, so I usually just take the liver and like dump it in the pot. I give Tamika cooked liver. But if you're not squeamish, you can... you know, give them liver. For horses, if you want to give a blood tonifier, figs are really good, or dates. And, you know, you could give dogs that too, but dogs prefer the liver. Or you could do like kidney beans or something, but dark, rich foods. But it's always like, I haven't seen this dog. All I'm getting is this one question. So
and
it
of
is.
Of course, we have to put in the mandatory disclaimer when Dr. Wendy's on, go see your veterinarian, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's better to just go see your veterinarian and get a baseline and then add food therapy from there.
Very good. Well, now it is that time of the week when we have to switch gears here a little bit and head over to Horse Nation.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And of course, we have Leslie Wiley with us. Hey, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week.
Of course. I always look forward to it.
It's your break from, you can actually get to talk to somebody because most of the time you're just writing stuff. So
yep.
This gets you human contact, our once a week visit. Otherwise, she just is holed up in her little, with her pen and paper and her ink quill and in her little hole of a house there and never gets out.
It's true.
Aww,
I'll start talking to myself.
Did I make you sound?
I make believe that I have a intern, and I'll be like, say things like, "Intern, my coffee mug's empty," and like shake it, and it keeps me entertained.
Does that work?
I'm gonna start doing that. That sounds like a good idea.
Does it refill your coffee cup?
No.
No. How is No Stirrup November going for you there, Leslie?
I love No Stirrup November. Uh-huh. I really do. I might be the only person in the world. But I also extend it to, I just really like riding bareback. One, because I'm lazy, and so it absolves me of the effort of having to put a saddle on my pony's back. And it's just it's nice when it's like cool out and your horse is all warm and you're just like sitting on a space heater.
That's true. I didn't think about it that way. Mm-hmm. About for the heating effect. You guys did an article called No Stirrup November Week 2, Pain is Temporary.
Our readers are keep checking in. You know, I feel like it's a team effort. No Stirrup November is a team effort. We're all in it together, sharing the pain
And so every week, Kristen sort of aggregates a sampling of No Stirp November social media posts checking in, seeing how everyone's doing. And some people are doing all right. Others, not so much. We've had a few casualties, but it's for the best, you guys. It's, I don't know. Like we're just 2 weeks in and I can tell a difference in ways that, you wouldn't expect. Like my abs are always so sore. You're like, I didn't realize that we used our abs that much riding, but
I like this one from Julia. From Lauren says, do you ever just lie in bed and cry because of leg cramps?
Yeah.
No Stirp November. And then Brooklyn says, running 3 miles and then riding stirpless for an hour does not feel good the next day.
Yeah, but it's going to be worth it, guys. We're going to have spring break bods by like December. So ahead of the game.
And not only that, when you lose your stirrup on the cross country course riding at 100 miles an hour, you won't die.
Exactly.
There's that little thing, too, that not dying thing.
And the not dying thing.
I there were a lot of comments, and I'm surprised how many No Stirrup Novembers I found on Twitter. I went in after you guys did, and even the Western riders are getting into it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's not so hard if you're riding Western.
Well, email wendy@horseradio.com.
Well, I mean, because Western horses are so comfy anyways, and your stirrups are really long. When you're used to like being in your little jump stirrups and you go to no stirrups, that's painful.
That is true. But wendy@horseradionetwork.com for all the Western riders that want to write to her. Leslie, 5 things I took for granted at the boarding barn.
Yeah, that's another one that Kristen put together, and but she's made a big life transition from a great big, I think she said there were 100 students cycling in and out through the week, keeping her horses on the family farm, and I think there are pros and cons to each. I've definitely been in both situations. I don't know what do you think?
We've done both. Obviously we had a big boarding stable and then we boarded horses for a while and now we're back to having them in the backyard. I think it also depends on how many you have, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you have, like, we have 2, that's a good number. Our landlords were away last week, so we were taking care of their 2. We always had these levels, and I don't know if you and Wendy will agree with this, but there's a level of horse care that multiplies exorbitantly. So when we always said, when you get over 3, work doubles. When you get over 7, it quadruples. Mm-hmm. And you would think it would just be one more horse, but that's not the way it works. It takes you what seems like twice as long once you get over 3 horses. So I think it depends on how many you have, too. But yeah, I mean, there are just certain things when you have a boarding barn, you take it for granted. One is going away. It's easy just to go away. True. Wendy, you can't go away anymore. You have too many animals, right? I mean, it's just,
right.
Us too. Now, we fortunately, our landlords live on the same property. We take care of each other's horses, but otherwise, you got to find a horse sitter, which is a pain in the ass. That's a big one, right?
If your horse is sick, like I can find a horse sitter, but if I have a horse that needs, you know, special medicine twice a day, that cost me a lot more if I am hiring a horse sitter than if I was at the boarding barn and I could just say, oh, we'll just here, give them the smart pack.
Right. Eye drops. Man, if they need eye drops, you're screwed. You're never going to find anybody.
Just send them to the hospital. It's cheaper.
Well, what have you done both? Have you ever had them at home, Leslie?
I have. I've lived lived in a barn for sure. I ran a stable for about 4 years and lived in the barn. It was a small, like, 6-horse barn, and it was just, I sort of took care of the owner's horses and my own. But I got so lonely out there. I ended up inviting two or three friends to come out and board their horses with me. Because it was so, I just, missed having people to ride with. I missed that camaraderie. And also I was afraid that, you know, when you feel safer when there's somebody else coming, you know, nobody's going to find your like lifeless body out in the field, you know, where your 3-year-old, 17 and a half, you know, 17 hand monster warm blood, with a bad attitude has, deposited you and
and left
and left and
I forgot to call 911. Of course.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it made me feel safer too, you know.
That is one of the one things that I think people don't think about is the camaraderie, is having somebody to ride with, because, and that is one of the things you have to put on the negative list when you, now, if you're a loner, like Jennifer kind of enjoys that, but if you're like Leslie and actually like people, then you want to, that is one of the things you have to put on a negative list if you're thinking about bringing your horses home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Or even just hanging out at the barn, right? There's somebody to hang out with. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm kind of in a perfect situation now, because I'm in a boarding barn, but it's a very quiet boarding barn. So sometimes I'll go out and there's nobody there. Sometimes I'll go out there and, you know, it's bustling a little bit and they're, so it's mixing it up. Just like if I stay home, if I work from home too much, I start talking to make-believe interns, you know. Sometimes I go and work in the coffee house, the coffee shop down the road, and kind of mix it up.
You know, that is one of the things too, is drama, right? That's barn mm-hmm. drama, and we all know what everybody's talking about there, because, you know, we had a boarding stable with a lot of horses and there was a lot of barn drama. Mm-hmm. And the barn drama involves people, not horses. But when you come home, it's a different kind of drama. It's not people drama. Then you truly do have the fence is broke, that this is broke, that that's broke, I have to deal with this today, and you don't have any help, you know. Right. So it's just you dealing with that, so you don't have people to rely on, so the drama is different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still there. Yeah. It's just different. It's not people drama. It's not teenage girl drama.
Which I would take a broken fence over a teenage girl drama any day of the week.
Me too.
Okay, teenage girls, don't write to me. There is also adult girl drama and adult boy drama too. So
yep.
There's all kinds of people drama.
All kinds of people drama.
So, you know, that's a couple of things that she listens here. And also help if you just want somebody to, you know, do you a favor one time because you need a favor done. You can call the barn when you know they're there and you forgot to mm-hmm. do something. Or that I love her first one is double checking everything mm-hmm. because you can't drive away from the barn and call the barn owner and say, can you check if I put that stall latch up? You know, I'm not sure if I latched that stall. Mm-hmm. And you do find yourself turning around. We have done that here. You know, did we remember to shut the feed room door? And you're 12 miles down the road, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that is common. How about the next one? Barn hacks. I love this one. Tell us about this barn hack.
I love barn hacks. Just little smart, little clever ideas that you know, somebody came up with and wanted to share. And in this case, it was our writer Maria, I believe, and she suggested for horses that are reluctant to eat their medicine, or, you know, to get a, you know, a Clif bar. They're like kind of gummy, chewy, protein.
Yeah, they're
bars.
Really gummy.
They're gross.
Clif bars are kind. You gotta want to eat them.
yeah. Well, she suggested, I never would have thought of this, you know, rip off a chunk of a Clif bar. She recommends a peanut butter flavor that tends to be popular with horses, I guess. You know, stick the medicine down in there and then gum it all back together and then hand it to your horse. Put it, you know, like, here's a treat, pony. And down
there's
the hatch
gotta
it
goes. Be something in a Clif bar that's bad for a horse.
Spoonful of sugar. Yeah. Right. I don't know. What I mean,
you can use an Uncle Jimmy squeezy bun would do the same thing. Uncle Jimmy squeezy buns, that's what they're meant for.
That's true.
I would rather eat a squeezy bun than a Clif bar, personally.
That's true.
They're so gross.
They are gross. I'm
like, what is that? And that's where she said, after choking down half of one, I'm normally so over it, I offer the rest to my horse. reform mule. I've never met an equine yet that's turned one down. I'm not exactly sure how healthy they are for them, but I haven't killed one yet from feeding a Clif Bar. Looking up Clif Bar nutrition right now. I'm like, what is, gross. Have we ever, what isn't a Clif Bar?
That's funny.
You know what else you could do is bread. Horses love bread.
Really?
Yes. But I mean, you don't want to give them tons of bread because it's all sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know horses would eat bread.
I did not.
They love bread. Back in the day when I used to eat sandwiches, because now I've tried not to eat bread so much, but my horses would always like try to grab my sandwiches and occasionally they'd get it and I would be pissed. They're worse than dogs. My horses are real beggars. Don't tell Monty.
I won't tell Monty, okay? It'll be big trouble. Hey, so Horse Nation had another two-part series that I'm going to recommend everybody go read, and it's called Crossing Disciplines and Rivers, A Dressage Rider Tries Endurance. Mm-hmm. Those were some good articles, and it was interesting to see because, you know, that's something that you don't usually see, so.
Right, yeah. It's definitely a departure, getting far, far out of the dressage arena, but yeah, I love that. I love, it's a two-part series so far
but it certainly could lead to other articles, you know, a venter tries reining, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I love that. That's a
great one though. Dressage and endurance are so far from each other. I just can't wait to read that. That sounds awesome.
It's really good. Yeah. And I think it's great for all of us to branch out. I love the open-mindedness of it and explore other disciplines. And I know I have a lot of things on my bucket list, different types of riding that I really want to try. It just helps us all
understand. Speaking of which, you had an article called, you don't think I read Horse Nation, but I do. there's an article called The Muck Bucket List. And I just, as soon as you said bucket list, I pulled it up. And this is blogger Megan Kiesling. Kiesling? Mm-hmm. She has a muck bucket list, she calls it, of things horsey she'd like to do. So, all right, Wendy and Leslie, are you ready? Have you done these things? All right. Or if you haven't done them, are they on your muck bucket list? Mm-hmm. Gallop on the beach. Wendy, you've done that one.
I've done it, but I never get tired of it. I would do it again and again and again.
Leslie?
I have, yes.
Okay, so that one's good. Ride side saddle?
Nope.
Wendy?
Yes, I loved it. Mickey Bowen taught me how to ride side saddle.
Are your legs long enough? With the little thing?
You don't have to have. I was I'm in Mickey's
kidding.
Saddle.
I was just kidding. Jennifer's ridden side saddle too.
It's fun.
That. Yeah.
It's really fun.
Have you jumped side saddle, Wendy?
I don't think so. If I jumped, it was like a thing on the ground.
Jennifer, did you ever jump side saddle?
No, thank you very much.
How about go to Mongolia? Well, Leslie, when are you signing up for the Mongol Derby?
Oh, man. I would love to.
We could do a fundraising campaign. It's $13,000.
I
want to
go.
But
I want to go with you, Leslie.
Okay. That's going on the bucket list.
We'll do
for
a Kickstarter because between the two of you and the transportation, everything, it's going to cost you about $30,000. So we need to raise some money. But
you need me, Leslie. I look like a local. I could fit in.
That's true.
I just have to learn some Mongol.
She has the right eyes. So you'll be good to go. Man. And she's a veterinarian. She can help your horses as they die on the trail.
Those ponies don't take any vet medicine. No. Those things are tough.
Gallop a racehorse.
I haven't.
I haven't.
No, that Jamie,
not on the
Jamie
track.
Used to do that. She used to do the racehorse thing. How about, let me go down to one that's odd. Have either of you done saddle seat?
I did take a saddle seat lesson.
Really?
One time.
What was that
like?
Yeah.
I was up doing an event in Kentucky, and they had a stabled off the grounds. They had limited stabling on the grounds, and they stabled me in a saddlebred barn. And so I was like, man, you know what? I've always wanted to ride a saddlebred. And so I took a lesson while I was there with the woman, the trainer there. And it was wild. I think there's actually I think there's some video of it on YouTube. It's harder. It's harder than it looks. You've got to, you know, stick your feet out in front of you and like keep your hands up. And
yeah, the position's like exact opposite of everything you were ever taught.
Mm-hmm. They're right? Really well trained because you're just totally at their mercy. Yeah. You are. You can't really do anything, but they're like perfectly trained. They're so good.
Mm-hmm. They are. They really are.
Okay, now there's one more I'm going to ask Leslie about because we know Wendy's done it. She's competed up to up to four horse in this, and that's combined driving is on Megan's article. Have you ever tried driving?
No, but I would love to.
Oh, you would have so much fun. Oh, that man. Little pony of yours would be really good too, actually.
I bet she would love it.
That's how people get started. They have a pony.
Yeah.
They have a pony.
She has a, Leslie has a really, really nice venting pony. What is she, 14 hands?
Not quite.
Yeah.
On a big hair day, she's 14
but
hands.
Leslie is the same height as you, Wendy. So you two would look eye to eye. So it's perfect. But a lot, you know, and it doesn't really hurt them to cross train them to driving either, does it, Wendy?
Oh, no.
Oh, I used to, when I first started driving, I rode mostly. So my riding horses, I trained to drive. And then I mean, I have to be honest, I would only drive like once a week. That's why I was so bad when I started out because they weren't really trained. But
Chester Weber, I mean, number one driver in the world, they're all ridden, aren't they?
Yeah, all the top drivers have dressage riders in their barn to help them build the muscles they need to carry themselves.
Because it's easier to do riding them for dressage mm-hmm. to train them than actually driving them. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So there you go, Leslie, a new goal.
Wow. New goal.
That's right.
Not and only, Mongolia.
You could be at Rolex with your pony and Live Oak.
That's right.
You could be the first horse ever to do both.
Oh, my goodness.
4-star in driving, 4-star in riding.
Life goals.
That'd be super cool.
Wouldn't that be fun really if somebody actually
I'll navigate for you.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. Back to this Mongolian thing, because this would be great radio. So that's why I'm all over that. So what year? Next year? Do you want to sign up? Did we get you started?
Oh, man. Next year. Next summer. When do you think it takes place?
What is it? Always in August or September? August, mm-hmm. Jennifer?
It has to be in the summer. It's in Mongolia. It's freezing up there.
And it's only 1,000 miles or kilometers. So
that's it?
That's it.
It takes 12 days. I'm looking it up to see if they posted the dates for next year. Their website is not very good a lot of times.
The only thing I have a problem with, it sounds great, right? But remember we had the girl on that won and she said, well, by like day 6, you start to have food poisoning.
Yep, that's a problem.
And, you know, when I went to China, everybody says the same thing. Okay, you're going to get food poisoning. Great. So you have explosive diarrhea, but you have to ride like 1,000 kilometers there's no porta potties.
Oh, no, you won't be finding any bathrooms along this route. You have to be comfortable with going in the wild.
So we have to be able to ride 1,000 miles while having explosive diarrhea and projectile vomiting. You get to work up to that.
Okay.
Well, you could practice that with some bad chicken and fish at home. You could practice.
Raw oysters.
Yes. Entry fee and dates. Okay, here we go. I have it. August 6th, it starts next year.
Okay.
August 6th and runs to the 19th. You have to get yourself to Mongolia. The entry fee for next year is $12,995.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And depending on the course design, you will run ride between 25. Well, they have, let's see here. You will ride up to 12 different horses.
Really?
Yes. Because you get a different horse every day. You don't ride the same horse every day.
Oh, so you go to like checkpoints.
Yeah, you go to checkpoints and at that night you switch your horse out. And then the next day you start all over.
I also remember her saying that they weren't like 100% broke.
No, they're not broke. They just go like hell.
They're just tamed.
they just go fast over the ruggedest of terrain. But look, your adventure will be for our pleasure.
All right.
I think I'm talking Leslie right out of this, actually.
Wow. I'm just looking at the application. And it basically, the application tries to talk you out of applying. This.
What does it say?
Yes. May I read a quote from their page?
Yes.
This is a writer who competed in 2013-14.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of going back, getting on a horse, and getting caught alone in a thunderstorm and bucked off, or suffering from any number of the other misfortunes that plague the derbyists. But when I really think about it deep down, all of the good and the bad and the misery and all the glory, and then I think about not going back, the sense of loss is always greater than the sense of terror.
Oh, good.
How about this one?
That sounds great.
This is Claire in 2013. I did get bucked off and lost my horse, my saddle, my bridle, my kit, and my sleeping bag 2 days ago. And I haven't had any kit since then. I'm a bit of a mess, but I'm over the moon. We pushed so hard to get to this point, and I'm proud of myself. It's just amazing. I'm really happy. There's been so many highs and outweigh the lows. Do you think she was just lying or on, like, drugs at that point?
No, I
think she's on painkillers.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
She OD'd on Cliff Bars because she lost a pony. That's what it does to you.
We have had the winners on the last several years. We've had the winners of the Mongol Derby on. And pretty much, you know, if you win this thing, it's because you were the one that didn't get bucked off and hurt yourself. And it's a little bit of luck.
Yeah,
a lot of tenacity, a little bit of luck. Everybody gets sick because you end up eating the Mongol food because you're staying with them at night.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody gets sick. Apparently, everybody gets sick.
What did they let you just pack some Cliff Bars?
I think you can pack whatever you can take and whatever you don't lose when you get bucked off.
Yeah, but when you get bucked off, your pony just runs off and they go back to feeding wild ponies.
Oh my god!
They don't go back to the checkpoints. They just like go back to.
Are you still in, Leslie?
Absolutely. I'm in.
The only thing that would make this better is if it was you, Wendy, and Lady Martha.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Lady Martha can fund you.
Yes. Oh, the three of you. They
that'd be great.
To get accepted then.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do this thing.
Let's get Lady Martha on the phone someday on a Monday, next Monday. Okay. We'll get her on the phone and propose this to her and see what she says.
She's already ridden across Mongolia. So I'm not even kidding you. She already actually has done this. Not the race. She just went and did it
for
the heck of it. I'm not even kidding you.
Well,
just
then
like,
this should be no problem then.
Google Lady Martha Sitwell and Mongolia.
I love her. She's
the three of you together doing Mongolia would be hilarious.
No, she did it side saddle.
Really?
Oh my god, I love her so much. I didn't think I could love her more, but now that you just told me that.
Yeah, she did it to celebrate the memory of her deceased sister, late sister, Polly. Yeah. Just
all right. Let's talk to her about the race.
Okay.
She hasn't done the race yet. And
okay.
She hasn't done it with the two of you. And Wendy can translate. She can learn Mongolian by then. So she can actually do you speak any Chinese at all, Wendy?
No.
You just look. You look Chinese, but you don't speak anything. Yeah. Your dad, you never learned anything from the family?
No, but I mean, we don't speak Mongolian anyways.
Yeah, okay. But you can
Cantonese.
Learn how about good food, not bad food? Learn how to say, is this rotten or spoiled?
Our level of that, our level of food safety is very different from Asian level of food safety. This is why my dad told me when we went to China that we're really lucky because we have the genes to be able to eat like, you know, stuff that is not that, you know, if you were very sensitive to food poisoning, you would die in China.
Kyle is very
sensitive.
Leslie, how tough is your stomach, Leslie? I know it can handle all kinds of alcohol, but how about food?
I think, can I not just live on that? What do they eat? It's some sort of fermented, like, mare's milk,
the cow's
right?
milk or bear's milk or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think that's a good point. If we drink enough alcohol, it should disinfect our tummies so we won't get
as... Kill it with vodka.
You're going to be the only ones there with little flasks lined up around the saddle.
We'll have those like soft packs, you know, those soft
on your back.
You know, in the 70s, they used to have those little
thing that came like the bikers use. They come around and you drink out of them with the hose.
Yeah.
There'll be margaritas in Leslie's.
You know
it. Yeah, that's a good one. this trip sounds awesome. I can't wait. I don't care if we get diarrhea.
Jennifer just said with the three of you, there would be an international incident.
An international incident.
Two countries, Britain and the United States. I love this idea. Let's get Lady Martha on next Monday and ask her if she'll do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, three of you. You notice I'm not volunteering. I'm volunteering the three of you. You notice that, right? We need to go do a live broadcast from the start.
Oh, yeah. And then meet us at the finish.
And then meet us.
Because we'll be crying.
We'll be crying.
We'll have made it.
I love this idea. All right, Leslie. Thanks a bunch.
Okay.
HorseNation.com.
Have a great week, guys.
You get that set up for next week. Hey, and Leslie, 2 weeks from today, Radiothon. Don't forget.
Yeah. So excited.
Yay. All right. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Well, is Lady Martha coming on Radiothon?
I don't think so. I don't think Lady Martha's on.
You need to get her.
Well, I think
she really is my idol. I like it's a close tie between Mickey Bowen and Lady Martha, of who I like.
Seeing that they're on at 8 o'clock at night, Lady Martha's time is going to be about 2. So I'm thinking if she was on, we might not even be able to understand her anyway.
She's just getting going at 2.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you stopping by. Thank you, Dr. Wendy.
Thanks for having me, and keep the shiny side up.
You can hear Dr. Wendy every week on the Driving Radio Show. That's how she ends the show. Keep the shiny side up.
Oh, sorry. I always miss my cue on these live shows.
You can find her at drivingradioshow.com every week. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of non-drivers listen to that show just because it is a fun show. And we'll be back tomorrow. It's the Certified Horsemanship Association here on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll have Lisa Wysocki on Wednesday, and then, of course, the trail riding episode, and then Jamie will be back on Friday. Get your entries in for really bad ads and record them for us. We love when you record entries, too. It's a lot of fun when you help us out. And of course, 2 weeks from today, Radiothon. If you want more details, holidayradiothon.com. Now you can say it, Wendy.
All right, keep the shiny side up.
Thank you, Jennifer.